Good morning once again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. By the time you hear this, you will have had a lovely Christmas and lots of things will have taken place. All of us will have enjoyed what we call Christmas time. It is the time when we remember the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world in the most miraculous way. He came to give us life. Now, I want to share with you, as I have in the past here, that the gospel is the good news. And the good news is that Jesus came into this world and will come again to this world. Those he finds loving him, he will take them to himself, and in the new world, there will be a Christmas that shall last for all eternity. But before we get to that thinking, I would like to remind you of Romans. The book of Romans tells us many, many things that we want to hear. And one of the things that we have heard over the years is that the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's from Romans 6 and verse 23. And I want to talk to you about this in a moment or two. But first, let me say to you, as I hoped you had a wonderful Christmas, and in your families you gathered together and read the Christmas story, I hope. If you were alone, I hope you spent some time reading the Christmas story, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, there's a great deal of thinking here, and we need very much to get ourselves in line with God as far as thinking is concerned. I would like to share with you this, that when we give, we have given our gift. We don't have to keep on giving it, it is given. During Christmas, we gave to one another gifts. Maybe it was a small thing, maybe it was a large thing, maybe it was tremendously expensive, or maybe it was very cheap. But the whole point is that we gave gifts, and God gave so generously that it was his only begotten Son that he gave. Now, at the very beginning of all of these things, we find that the Lord Jesus was prepared by God to leave his heavenly home, and all the angels that worshipped him, and all the greatness and the glory of heaven, and come into this sinful world, and to grow up as a man, in a sense to be tested in all the ways that we are tested. Tempted, he was tempted in every way that we are, and he was found to be without sin. It is not easy not to sin. We enjoy our sins, or we wouldn't keep on being involved in sin. But there are dreadful things that happen. Sometimes people give a gift and then they take it back, or at least they want to. Or they give you a gift and they say in their hearts that you're not spending the money that they've given you as a gift, or using the utensil that they gave you the way they wanted you to use it. And so they've not let free the claim on that gift. But God so loved, he gave. And he gave the Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son, for a specific purpose. When you come to the crucifixion, you find that the Lord Jesus suddenly came up with an expression that just should take every heart by storm. And the cry was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the agony! There was a moment when Jesus was alone, and he bore our sins alone in his body on the tree, And that was God's own remarkable way of bringing us his gift, which was eternal life. Now, if you've received the Lord Jesus and you know him as your Savior, you have eternal life. And I want to say this to you. What are you doing with that life? Is it a life that is full of the love of God? Is it a life that is responding to holiness and sanctification? The justification has been bought by the blood of Jesus, and your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, but it took the blood of Jesus to take away your sin, and I am in the same boat as you. How have we lived our lives? Have we been faithful? Have we been honest? And have we been understanding the gift of God? Now, there's always a time when you're wrapping gifts and putting gifts together, and you're trying to make everything just right and trying to cause things to be right, and you're longing with all your heart to make perhaps what isn't such a great gift, at least pretty, from the arrangement of the things that are inside this wrapping, and you make it look better than it really is. We were given a gift from England. It was a big box. It looked as if we were going to have an enormous amount of candy and fruit and things to eat. But as we got into unpacking that box, we discovered something that we were unprepared for. The packing was very thick, some 4 inches in places. The gift that we could eat was actually in the first 3/4 of the inch of this deep tray made of cardboard. And there was a certain amount of, in our hearts, a disappointment. Now, it looked like we were getting a tremendous gift of goodies and candy and fruit. But when we came to eat it, there was barely enough to go round. It was a disappointing gift. And then there is the gift that doesn't look as if it's very much at all. And if you're a college student, perhaps you'll appreciate this, that grandparents often go without so that you can have a little bit of money to spend. Because we've been through the college experience and we know what it's like to be without very much money, or without warm clothes. When grandparents give, they often give from the experience of their lives, and they want you to have everything just as good as they can possibly help to make it. And so you may think this little trinket that they've sent you is of little value. They may even dip into their jewelry box and give you a piece of old jewelry. You've seen it before, hanging around grandmother's neck. And you look at that and think, well, why did she send me this? Because she loves you and her money was running out, but she gave you something that was precious to her. The preciousness of the gift is the attitude, perhaps, of the giver. And God's attitude was that when he gave his only begotten son, he didn't ask his son to stop doing what he was doing on earth and come back to heaven and be cozy and let the world go spinning along in its own revolting way. But he stood back and watched. And when Jesus cried out, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? It wasn't a desperate cry. It was a cry of, why aren't we both together? We've been together all eternity so far. From the beginning, from before creation, we were together. And now you, in my great suffering, have deserted me. God said that he would provide himself a sacrifice, and it had to be done God's way. We find ourselves in a great pickle sometimes. We can't just give. We have strings attached, or we have desires attached to our giving. We must give and let go of the gift. God did. It must have been a very difficult and painful thing for him. He doesn't count time as we count it. And time has no real cognizance with God. His concern is eternity. How will we spend eternity? Will we repent? Will we believe in the gospel, in the good news that the end of our lives on earth is eternal life? Speaking of eternal life, Jesus said, "This life you can't lose." He said, "No man can take this from you. It's impossible to separate you from the life that God gives. And God so loved you that he gave you eternal life, a life that goes on for all eternity, and you have the honor and privilege of living that life. God so loved this whole world." The extent of the giving that God gave is enormous, for the blood of Jesus covered the whole world. The suffering of Christ covered the whole world and all the various generations. And now, just over 2,000 years ago, Jesus went through this great experience, and it wasn't the most comfortable thing he had done. He could have called 10,000 angels and stopped the suffering, but condemned man would have gone condemned. Jesus died and came back from the dead, showing us that there was life after death, and showing us that the life after death was with God. And it was a more powerful life, a different life, and the bodies that we would wear after death wouldn't be like these earthly bodies that we plant in the ground, either by ashes or by the whole bulk of the body being buried. That wasn't what he was giving. He was giving life that was eternal. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, why, he shall never die." Never die. And this is God's gift, and it is wrapped and written in the blood of Jesus. And the presence of Jesus is the presentation of life. He loved you so much, he gave you life. He gives to anybody who comes to him life, life that is eternal and life that will not end, and no man can take it from him. You see, I have a life that will go on for all eternity. You better like me now, because you're going to spend eternity with me if you love the Lord Jesus. And I can't understand how Christians reject one another sometimes. I think of this terrible thing that happened with the two policemen in the city of New York, were shot dead in their car. The man that did it was doing it for some purpose that he couldn't explain. Actually, he was obeying satanic rules. Always Satan takes our attention at Christmas to some other calamity. And notice how the calamity has taken over the news broadcasts, where we would have perhaps seen great things that were happening with men and women and children, and the gifts that we were swapping with each other, and the joy of the singing and coming together in the house of the Lord. That's not mentioned. What is mentioned is the gore and horror of two men who loved their families and were doing their job and were, for no apparent reason, killed. And so now we're facing all sorts of potential riots and so on. It is such a shame that Satan can ruin Christmas. He can ruin the time that we have together. A friend of mine lived and eventually had cancer badly, and we all thought that she was going to die somewhere in November, or was it October? She was extraordinarily ill. But here came December, and we were calculating, this is getting close to Christmas. And here we came to Christmas, and wouldn't you know, she died on what we call in our calendar, Christmas Day. Now, the family were absolutely distraught over the death of this young woman, but it was Christmas. Every Christmas from that time on, all of that family, from the youngest to the eldest, remembered that woman and remembered her suffering and remembered her dying, and it was on Christmas. So every Christmas, people had a time when they remembered that dear woman. And it went on like that for years. I was pretty well known to the family and involved in their lives one way and another. And one of the first things at 9 o'clock on Christmas Day that the mother of this girl did, and she took an entourage of other people from the family. They drove out to the cemetery, and they sat around the grave or stood around it, and they sang carols, and they sang hymns, and they prayed, and they read the scriptures, and they had their time with the dead, really. For that young woman was already in paradise, was already with God in heaven, because absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's instantaneous, it's quicker than the blink of an eye. That's what takes place. But what a nuisance and what a tragedy when somebody is suddenly taken and suddenly thrust into eternity. We sometimes get ourselves in a terrible fix because we don't know how to die. And we can't claim dying, but we can be prepared to die. Now, I don't want this to be all solemn and depressive, but I want you to hear this, because what we have, and the good news is that when this body gives its last breath, we have newness of life. And nobody can take that life from us. And no matter what the calamity may be that we're involved in dying, the beautiful thing is that the gift of God comes into play. And that gift of God is enormously powerful. And it takes us into eternity, and we live forever, says the Bible, with the Lord. We are forever with the Lord. All of the mechanics of that, I'm not sure anybody understands. But by faith, believing that Jesus was successful in acquiring for all of us, with his gift, new life, what a privilege we have. So at Christmas time, have you received the gift of God? The gift of God. I remember a man gave me a new saddle. It was mine. It was the first saddle I ever owned. It was mine. I had been borrowing a saddle for a couple of years, and he wanted me to have my very own saddle. So he took me one day to the saddle maker in the little town of Union in eastern Oregon, and we talked to the old man that made saddles. His hands were gnarly and his body was bent, and he was very elderly, it seemed to me, at that time. And I was still a young man when this happened, and Christmas came and the saddle was mine with a bow on it, and this is yours. It was a brand new saddle. What a joy that was to me. But eventually it wore and it wore out. And I had to have this fixed and that fixed and so on. That isn't what we're talking about at all. That is a gift from a man to a man. That is a gift with love, but it is a perishable gift. Jesus has given to us eternal life, and he wrapped it in his own blood and presents it to the whole world and says, "Come unto me, all of you that are laboring and are heavy laden, all of you that are suffering, and the sufferings have taken over your life, come unto me, and I will bless you, I will love you, I will hold you, I will keep you, and I will never leave you." No matter where you wander, no matter where you go, Jesus will be with you. Now, it's important for all of us to know that Jesus loves us. What a passion. What a beautiful thing. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. In England, I would listen to those bells on Christmas Day as they would peal from one church to another, and they would go from one little valley to the next. And if you were walking across the moors, for instance, in Yorkshire, as I did once because I was in the army at the time, and I was walking on the moors, and it was Christmas Day, and over, way over, a long way away, came this beautiful sound of the bells pealing out from a church that was nestled in a little hole in the ground, as it seemed, and just a few houses around it. But it was telling the story of Jesus. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, of angels plunging toward the earth to pluck their harps of gold. This was a tremendous song that was being played on the bells, and as that one finished playing his hymn, along came another from another church that was a little closer. And again and again and again, and I must have sat for an hour listening to the bells ringing out the good news of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is God's gift to you, not the singing of hymns or the singing of carols, not the sentimental and the sloppy, but the gift of God is eternal life. This is the life that Jesus had before with the Father in heaven and now has with the Father in heaven since he has gone up into heaven. And the Lord Jesus is blessing and watching over all that is done, and that all things are done in the name of Jesus. I've taken on a little crusade of my own. In the various stores that I don't go to many anymore, but in the various stores or meeting lots of people at various meetings, they are saying, "Have a happy holiday." I do not say that. I've started to say, "Enjoy the day with Jesus. This is Jesus' birthday, and we're celebrating his birthday." So I say, "Have a blessed Jesus Day." You might like to take that up. I've had some amazing responses. One young woman who was a nurse, I'd taken my wife to the hospital to have her ankle fixed. She had broken it some months ago and it wasn't healing right. And this girl wanted to sound religious. She said, "Have a Merry Christmas." And I said, "Yes, and you have a good Jesus Day." And she looked at me, she said, "What?" I said, "Have a blessed Jesus Day. Have a great time with the Lord Jesus. Enjoy his birthday." And she said, "Yes, I'd never thought of it that way." And she went off and she was thinking at least about how she could turn this Christmas into a celebration of the birthday of the Lord Jesus. I shall be interested to hear from that same nurse later on how Christmas went and how the Lord Jesus entered their household and into the hearts of all who gathered there. For her family were coming and her husband's family were coming and all the children were coming, and it was on, as it should be. What a joy it is to present ourselves before God and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Jesus is thrice holy, says the hymn writer, because he is altogether lovely. What a gift! What a gift! Oh, he's alive. Jesus loves you. And if you will receive him into your heart, it will be the best gift you've ever received. It'll be the most remarkable experience you've ever had in your life. And it doesn't matter what the condition of your body or mind is, Jesus is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves you when you're young. He loves you when you're middle-aged, and he loves you when you're old. And he holds you in different ways. He holds you all of your life, and he never leaves you, never forsakes you, never walks away, never divorces you, and yet you will not be faithful. But he loves you, and he loves you with a love that cannot be broken. He bound us with the cords of love, and thus, says the old hymn writer, he bound us to him. So I must stop, but do enjoy the rest of the year, and do enjoy the new year. But I must wish you a happy Jesus Day. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. But remember this, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is a hallelujah. Rejoice receiving Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, will you bless us and take our hearts and fill them with your grace and your love? And will you cause us to call you holy, holy Lord Jesus? So we pray for your blessings on all the families that are hearing this broadcast and all the people that will eventually listen to these words. These are mere words of man, but if you will write on the fleshy tablets of our hearts, we shall rejoice. Lord, bless us now. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you for listening. Hey, bye-bye.